Good to have the Holy Spirit to teach us the book. So when he teaches it, it's not so difficult to understand.
That's right, amen.
We're in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 6, we learned about man's relationship to sin. We learned how we died to sin, and we're alive unto God.
Amen.
We were, before we were saved, servants of sin. But when we got saved, we became servants of righteousness, servants of God.
Amen.
Now in chapter 7, we're going to learn about man's relationship to the law. That's different from man's relationship to sin. And we learned that the question was asked, is the law sin? And the answer is no. The law is holy and just and good, the Bible said. But in the first 13 verses of chapter 7, we learn that the work of the law in the life of an unbeliever is to work conviction. He said, I would not have known what sin was if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. And so what happens was the law works conviction. Somebody had their phone on? Okay, the law works conviction in the unbeliever. And that's in verses 1 through 13. In verse 14, we see a transition. We go from all the verbs in the first 13 verses are in past tense. And beginning with verse 14 through the end of the chapter and even into the next chapter. By the way, chapter 7 and 8 should be considered as a whole, as one chapter. But in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, the verses are in present tense. We've gone from past to present. Something took place between verse 13 and verse 14. And I believe what took place there was the man was saved.
Amen. Yeah.
So his relationship to the law is now going to change. Beginning with verse 14. Know ye not, brethren, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. There are three words used to describe a man in the Bible. One of them is natural. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discern. That's the natural man. That's the unsaved man, the lost man. Then we have the carnal man. That's a man who's saved. He's been born again, but he has not yet learned how to control and to curb the appetites and desires of the flesh. The word carnal means fleshly. So that's the carnal Christian, the carnal man. He's saved, but he's in an infant state as a Christian.
That's right.
He has not grown. Then we have the spiritual man. That's the man who has matured in the Lord and has learned how to control his flesh. So in this verse here, he says, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So what we're going to read about here in these verses is the battle that exists in a carnal Christian. For that which I do, I allow not. That word allow is an interesting word. Because in chapter 6, what did we learn? That we are what? Dead to sin. And we said what that means is we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer subject to sin. We died to sin. But now we're learning here that sin isn't gone away. Sin hasn't disappeared. It's still present. But his relationship to us has changed.
Amen.
He said in the verse, but I am carnal, sold under sin, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. I allow not. The word allow means I don't understand it. I'm confused. I thought I was dead to sin. If I'm dead to sin, why is it I don't do the things I want to do and I do the very things I don't want to do? What's going on? Well, that's the question we're going to answer. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. Then he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, what I need is a couple of volunteers. Let's see here. Brother Dahlman, would you volunteer? How about Doc, would you volunteer?
To do what?
You'll find out. Now come over here and you stand right here. Face him. You stand right behind him. Right behind him. Okay. That's right. Hide. Now, here is a lost man. Okay? Sin dwells in him. Sin dwells in him. Sin's alive in his life. It controls him. It controls his mind. It controls his thought processes. It controls his desires. It controls everything about him. But when he gets saved, there's a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's this man. Now, here we have the man that's born again, the new creature in Christ Jesus. Here we have the man that was born a sinner, okay? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We have both of them standing right here.
Amen.
Okay? Now, what I want us to see is Paul talks about the life of a Christian and refers to it as a race. For example, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. The word course means he's finished his leg of the race. Think of a relay race. And he's finished his leg of that relay race. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, let us lay aside the weight which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So he likens the life of a Christian as a race. How many of you ever run a race? I can remember when I was a kid, we used to have races. And one of the races we had was a three-legged race. You remember those? What happens? You take two people and you bind two of their legs together. So now they have three legs and they run the race as one. That's exactly what we have right here. Now we don't see that now, but imagine in your mind that these two men become one as a three-legged racer. Okay? Now, I forgot one thing. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So these two are going to run a race. Let's say that we're going to race westward to 135th Street, 135th Avenue, okay? We're going to race in that direction. So, come over here.
Man, this man has sin here.
Tom, okay. Now, which direction are we going to run in?
West.
We're going to run that direction. So yeah. Which direction are you going in? You're going that direction, aren't you?
I am.
Which direction are you going in? You're going in that direction. And they're bound together. They're tied together as one. Okay?
He's going to win.
Who's going to win? He is. He's bigger and stronger, isn't he? Okay? Now, what can we do to see that Tom wins and Greg doesn't win? What can we do? Well, one thing we can do is strengthen Tom. Okay? How do we strengthen Tom? Well, we get Tom to read his Bible. We get Tom to pray. We get Tom to go to church when the doors are open. We get Tom to do the things that the Bible says to do. And as he does those things, Tom begins to grow. He gets stronger as a Christian. Okay? Now, this fellow over here, what do we want to do with him? We want to weaken him. How can we weaken him? Well, let's take away the things that make him strong. For example, his entertainment, what he watches or looks at. Let's take that away from him. How about the music he listens to? The wrong kind of music. Let's take that away from him. What about the crowd he runs with? The wrong crowd. Let's take that away from him. Let's take away from him those things that would make him strong. Things that would, if he loses them, are going to make him what? Weaker. Okay? Now these two are going to be together for the rest of their life in this race. The object is to make this guy strong and this guy weak. Okay? That's what these verses are talking about. Any question about that? Thank you, guys. Okay, so back to our scripture. For that which I do, verse 15, I allow not. Why? Because Greg was stronger than Tom initially. Now he says, if then I do that which I would not. In other words, when the race begins, which direction is it going to go in? It's going to go east instead of west. Because Greg's in control. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, I agree with the law. The law and I are in agreement. Who am I? I'm that saved person, that new creature in Christ Jesus. And we're in perfect harmony. We're in perfect agreement with the law. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it. In other words, he said, I'm doing it against my will. Greg dictated what direction they went in. Tom didn't. And if that's the case, Paul says, it's not me doing it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, he uses the pronoun me, but now he's going to clarify what he means by me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh. Now, he's localizing where this sin exists. Where does it exist? In his flesh. Not in him, in his flesh. There's a dichotomy here. We have to see that. The flesh is not the same as he. He has flesh, but he isn't flesh. When I got saved, I didn't get new flesh. In fact, when I got saved, the flesh didn't change at all. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing in our flesh worthy of merit. Nothing. But I still have flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. Now, where's the will come from? That means the will to do good, the will to do right. Where does that come from? It comes from God. That comes from the new creature in Christ Jesus. A lost man doesn't want to do what's good. He doesn't want to do what's right. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good. How do I act that out? He says, I find not. He's frustrated by sin. Everybody with me? For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Frustrating, isn't it? Have you ever experienced that? We all have, haven't we? Sunday morning rolls around. Boy, I tell you, this bed sure feels good. Huh? I don't really want to get up and go to church this morning. You ever been there? Huh? We all have, haven't we? Who's talking? That's the flesh. What does the new man say? You know what you ought to do. You know what the right thing to do is. Get up and go. Now the question is, which one are you going to listen to? Well, if you listen to the flesh, what are going to be the results? Good or bad? Wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, not just spiritual death, but death to hopes, death to ambitions, death to dreams, death to anything that's good. So when Sunday morning rolls around and I hear those two voices, do you know which one I'm going to listen to? I'm going to listen to God. Because when I listen to God, I'm going to bear fruit, eternal fruit. Now, if I do, that I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He says the same thing again. He's trying to make the point. Where does sin reside? In the flesh. It's not in me. Do I sin? My flesh does. Do I? Not the part that's going to heaven.
Not the part that's
going to heaven. Why? Because if it's capable of sin, it's not fit for heaven. Huh? Absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That means when you die, what happens to your soul, spirit? It goes immediately where? Into God's presence. Immediately.
Amen.
What transformation takes place? What?
None.
Exactly. None. It was already done when you got saved. That's where eternal security comes from.
Amen. Thank God.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, a principle, that when I would do good, evil is what? Notice he distances himself from that. It's present with me. It's not me, but it's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man, that's the man who was born again. Born of the Spirit. And that man delights in the law of God, in God's Word.
Amen.
He agrees with God's Word.
That's right.
Amen. He desires God's Word.
Yes.
That's who he is.
Amen.
He has become partakers of the divine nature. And what's the divine nature? That's God's nature.
Amen.
I share his nature. And you do too if you're saved.
Amen.
Is the old nature gone?
No.
It's not gone, but where is it? It's in the flesh. It's in Brother Dahlman here. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law where? In my members. And what did we say that word members means?
Body parts.
Body parts. The eye, the ear, the hand, the foot. The things of our body that we use to sin. But I see another principle. In my members, in my body parts, warring against the law of my mind. There's a battle going on. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Galatians 5:17. There's a war going on. What does it say here about that war? Another law of my members warring against the law of my mind. There's an interesting word. Mind. What is the mind of a Christian? There are two minds a man can have. Two. In a Christian, the carnal mind. Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind. That's the fleshly mind. The mind that desires the things of the flesh. Can that mind exist in a Christian?
Yes.
The carnal mind. But in the same chapter, this is in Romans chapter 8, we'll get to it eventually, there's another mind. That's the spiritual mind.
Amen.
The mind of the Spirit. That also exists in a Christian. So when you read the word mind in your New Testament, you're going to have to do some research as to, in the context, to find out which mind is he talking about. There's no single definition for mind. Read the context. Which mind is he talking about in a Christian? The carnal mind or the spiritual mind? But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, body parts, flesh. Any of those terms would fit. Sounds like he's frustrated. Huh?
Amen.
Have you ever been frustrated?
Amen.
Huh? I want to do right, but it just seems like I can't. No matter how hard I try, I fail. You ever been there?
Amen.
We all have, haven't we? Is there an answer?
Yes.
There is. And we're about to discover it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body, from the what? Body of this death. He's asking for delivery from the body. Delivery from the flesh. Delivery from sin. And bless God, we're going to be delivered from it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We're going to get a new body.
Thank God.
And that body will not know sin. First Corinthians 15 tells us we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, those people who are alive when Jesus comes back, their bodies will be instantaneously changed.
Amen.
Sin will be removed from them. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who? Did you get that? He didn't say what. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Here's the answer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
He is the deliverer. He is our Savior. He is the one who empowers us. He is the one who enables us to overcome sin in the flesh. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, now he sums all this up. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. What mind is he talking about? The spiritual mind or the carnal mind?
Spiritual.
The spiritual mind. So then with the mind, I, and to emphasize, it's him, he says, I, myself, serve the law of God. But the flesh, the law of sin. With the flesh, the law of sin. I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, along with the flesh, in this life, we also, on occasion, serve sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. So even though sin is relegated to the flesh, I am still responsible for it. It's not me that do it, but it's me that allows it. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
One verse tells us that he came to deliver us from this present evil world. This present, that means today. Not in eternity, but today. He's there to deliver me. As I yield to him. So what is my responsibility? As a carnal Christian, it's to get stronger, to become more spiritual, to where I control my flesh. And not allow my flesh to control me. Am I able to do that?
Yes.
Who gave me that ability? God did when I got saved.
Amen.
Now it's up to me to do it. That's Christian growth. That's how you define it. I bring my body, Paul said, into subjection. I control it. That makes sense?
Amen.
So in chapter 8, he's going to tell us all about that, how he does that. There's therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation because there's no what? No sin. No sin, no judgment, no hell.
Praise God.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk. Now the word walk means it's how we live our daily life. Who walk, not after the flesh. Now, when you walk, can you stumble?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Does that mean you're going to live perfectly? No. But there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. To use our illustration, when we begin that race, I'm not walking in this direction. I'm walking in this direction. Okay.
Amen.
I'm not going to let Brother Dahlman dictate which direction I walk in.
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's Romans chapter 7. Any questions? All right, next week we'll pick up with chapter number 8.